Calvary, to set me free. Oh, sweet victory. It's all in the blood, it's all in the blood. The price he paid for me, the price he paid for me, to set me free. Oh, sweet victory. Sing about the blood, magnify the blood. Oh, lift up holy hand, lift up holy hand, and worship him. Oh, worship him. My Jesus shed his blood, my Jesus shed his blood. He died on Calvary, he died on Calvary, to set me free. Oh, sweet victory.
Your heart and be
yes, I'm a conqueror, for the word of faith has gone before me. Now I'm marching unto Zion, and I've got the victory on my feet. And there's no one to stand against me, because my Jesus is in front of me. I've got my shield, I've got my sword, I've got the word of faith and in my heart. I've got the victory, yes, I'm a conqueror. Praises as your people declare your mighty word. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, declare your mighty word. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. I open up my heart. I open up my heart as much as can be known. As much as can be known, I open up my will. I open up my will to conform to yours alone. To conform to yours alone. Do something new, Lord, in my heart. Make a start. Do something new, Lord. Do something new. I lay before your feet. I lay before your feet all my hopes and my desires. My hopes and my desires, unreservedly submit. Unreservedly submit to what your spirit may require. To what your spirit may require. Do something new, Lord, in my heart. Make a start
for you to walk. Because it's by that walking in my will that I cause you to rise up and overcome all those things that the world is held and afflicted by. You do not walk like the world, because you have been born again, filled with the Spirit of the living God. You are not like the world. You do not live like the world, and you are not of this world. So do not be surprised, says the Lord, because that is the way that I have purposed that you should make it into the kingdom of God. You are like those sheep sent to the slaughter. You are ridiculous and foolish to the eyes of the world, because you do not walk the way of the world. You do not think like the way of the world. You do not embrace those things that the world embraces. For you are of another kingdom, another world, another age, another generation. And that is why you are filled in the inner man by the Spirit of the Lord, and by his word, and by the Spirit, the Comforter, who's come to take over. So do not any longer think it strange. Do not think that when you're down or you feel down, what is happening to me? For they are the things, they are the very means in which the Lord strengthens you in the inner man. That is the fueling that he uses in which to keep the fire alight and aglow in your life and in your heart. The same as a fire must have things in which to ignite it and to keep it alight. It must have those material things in which it consumes and burns to keep that light, that heat going. So your trials and what you do,
Holy Ghost, wanna comfort you. You lead us, you guide us. You lead us, you come right beside us. Right beside us, Holy Ghost, wanna comfort you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
I love you, adore you.
I love you, adore.
I bow down before you.
I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Son of God, what a wonder you are.
Son of God, what a wonder you are. Son of God, what a wonder.
You cleanse my soul from sin.
You cleanse my soul from sin. Set the Holy Ghost within. Son of God, what a wonder you are. Holy Ghost, what a comfort you are. Holy Ghost, what a comfort you are. You lead us, you guide us, you live right inside us. Holy Ghost.
Father, today we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, again, you desire to speak to us. Encourage us. Continue to keep that light ignited, lit, glowing inside us. And Father, we thank you that we are led and guided by your word. We're delivered by your word. And we're healed by your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm calling this teaching, for those of you taking notes, Death and Life in Conflict. Death and Life in Conflict. And I listened to the prophecy, the Spirit speaking today, and I take on board some of the things that he quickens to us by the Holy Spirit and confirming his word. And that's why I'm calling this Death and Life in Conflict. And I trust that as we open this up, you will begin to understand where we're coming from. And I'm basing this today from 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. And here the apostle has been speaking about Christ, who is the light of the gospel. And because of that gospel, the light of that gospel, the cost of the gospel, sometimes he found himself down, cast down, despondent, yet never forsaken. And that's what God was trying to encourage us this morning through the prophecy. One of the things that I heard the Lord say, that the very trials that we go through, where we're cast down, despondent, feel depressed, feel at times we can't go on, that is the actual fuel, that is the material things, the spiritual material things that keeps that light burning in us. And I was struck by that. I've never really fully understood that God actually uses our trials to keep us going, to keep us overcoming. He uses it to empower us, to keep us in that place. Now, only God can do that, because everyone else in the natural would fall. The world out there, that what we're seeing and what they go through, their trials, their tests, they go under. They have breakdowns. They have to go to psychiatrists, to doctors, stressed out, causes heart problems, strokes, high blood pressure, you name it. But God has raised us all above that. And the very things that the world goes through and what we go through, God actually uses that as spiritual energy. And isn't that amazing? how God does that. And that should put a different light on our trials. That even though they're hurting, even though I'm really going through it, yet God is using that in which to empower me so that I can actually overcome. The very things that I seem to fall victim to, that seem to consume my life, are actually the very things that is actually empowering me, encouraging me, causing me to triumph and overcome. Now only God can do that. Now all of those who are God's people and have received that in their heart have to say amen to that. Because I do. I take great comfort in that. And that is exactly what the apostle was bringing out here in 2 Corinthians 4 verses 7 to 15. And I want to read this first. And then I'm going to take this verse by verse. And he says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Oh, yes. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Oh, what an encouragement that is. Here this man mightily used of God speaks from experience. The Spirit is inspiring him through this epistle that he's writing. Not only is the Spirit giving life, but also his life bears witness to the Spirit that is inspiring him to write it. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. And this is how he works through you and I. He works through us, inspiring, encouraging, being those lights in this world of darkness, because our life is bared out with the same experience, you see. And it's wonderful how God uses this. And so here in verse 7 he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So he says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is a wonderful treasure that is in earthen vessels. And isn't that wonderful that God can work with an earthen vessel, clay? That's what we are. From dust we come, to dust we go. Undefiled, unclean, alienated from God. God has saved us by his grace and mercy, and what we overcome and are coming through is a result of what sin had done, and through generations of sin from our parents, their parents, ancestors, right down, right through the ages, right back to Adam, Eve. And here he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Note the word he uses, treasure. It's unspeakable. You can't define it really. There's no value that could ever be placed on these earthen vessels that God has filled with his Spirit. That's why we are his peculiar treasure, set apart to him. You cannot put any value to this. Now, some of the greatest treasures that we have in this life And people would say, well, you know, what's the value of this? And sometimes you hear them say, oh, you couldn't even begin to put a value on this. Where can you start? That's nothing in comparison to you and I, these earthen vessels of great treasure. And so that is what we are, saved by the mercy and grace of God. And why he then goes on to say that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So Paul is showing where true faith comes, not in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. And that is what sorts it out. Because where you see man's religion, man attempting to try and worship God, but it always comes from man's fleshly wisdom, his religious feeble attempts. But we've noted that it says here that the essence of all of this treasure, these earthen vessels, this is achieved and worked and done by the power of God and not of us. And so we have to be reminded of the gospel that we have received. Because that is where it starts. That is where faith comes, by hearing this word. It is the word of God that changes you and I, that at this present moment, as we sit under this precious anointing, it's changing us, conforming us, working in us, both to will and do for God's good pleasure. And so this is where the power of God is working on our behalf. And we get an understanding of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So he says, our gospel did not come to you in word only. So it wasn't just talking, just in word, just in speech, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. So brothers and sisters, you can relate with this, because what God is doing in your life and my life, your experiences, your trials, what you go through, how God brings you and I through, is clearly revealing that our gospel doesn't just simply come in words. Yes, we need words in which to communicate. I need words today in which to speak. But it doesn't stop only there. But it also has to come in power. What is the power? The power is the anointing, the unction of the Spirit that gives life to the Word, that speaks to God's people, in order that what you hear may be translated into actions and deeds. And this is done by the Holy Spirit. And not only is it done by the Holy Spirit, but it's done in much assurance. In other words, it's not just a one-off thing, but God is ever in his love and mercy confirming, reconfirming all the time, showing us that he loves us, he is with us. I mean, how many times do we hear that? How many times over the course of the week, or when we come together, or we hear it in prophecy, or we hear it in the word, God's assuring us all the time he loves us, he's with us, he hasn't forsaken us, you know, he's in control and so forth. There's the assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. That's the apostle there confirming, of course, his ministry amongst the people. So God's people will know when they hear God's word. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. You know. You might not like to hear it. You might try and sort of switch your ear off or whatever it would be, but you know that it is God speaking. And God somehow, in his love and mercy, doesn't give us any rest until what we have heard, when God has spoken into our lives, that we just have to get into our closet, we've just got to talk it out with the Lord. That's the Spirit working with us. God knows sometimes we can't always take everything in straight away. Sometimes this meat is hard. It's sometimes not always palatable. Sometimes it takes a heck of a lot of chewing. You think, you know, I've got to make sure that I've chewed this well before I swallow this. And sometimes it's like it, you know. Sometimes you just have to be honest and say, Lord, I've heard that teaching today. Father, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got to shelve this at the moment. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I want to. Give me time. And we will. I've had to do that sometimes. Sometimes it's been so difficult, I've just said to God, Father, I'm shelving this at the moment because I can't get my head around this. But I will, by your grace and mercy. And I'm not going to forget it simply because it's shelved. God knows. And this is where it comes back. This assurance that God's working with us. He doesn't give up on us. That's the power of the Spirit working on our behalf. So he says, but we have then this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why your salvation, your consecration, our gathering together, none of us can boast in it. It's all of God. Amen. And that is what works that assurance. That is what makes this gospel become a living reality. Your trials, your tests that you go through, times where you come to the end of yourself, but you find yourself still standing, that is what makes it a reality and real. And as we had in prophecy, how God uses those trials and he uses a spiritual fuel to keep that flame of the Spirit alive in you and me. He's using your trials to keep it all alive, that you will make it into the kingdom of heaven. Now only God can do that. And that's why, you know, when it hurts and we're going through it, and just say, Father, I've come to the end of myself, but praise you, thank you, that this is the means of me making it into the kingdom of heaven. And that this trial I'm going through is keeping the flame of the Spirit alive in me. And you're using it. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That's what it says in Romans. All things. Yes, you may say, well, even things I'm so embarrassed to talk about in my life, you know, and I find it difficult to bring before God. Yes, all things. So I always say, be open with God, hide nothing from the Lord. Because you will hear God say, there is nothing that will shock me. Hallelujah. And then it goes on in verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So he says here that we are hard pressed on every side. Paul isn't afraid to speak of his trials, but he always finishes what he goes through and went through in that positive note. We notice this great man, but he was humble enough to speak that he too goes through trials. And what he's saying here is his experience. He says, I'm hard-pressed. And I'll tell you, not only hard-pressed, but on every side. So we get this idea of like it's all caving in. You know? It's like your arms are out there, desperately trying to push it, keeping it away. And yet the load gets so heavy, it's like I can't hold it any longer. It's like it just caves in. That's what he's saying here. But he's saying with that experience, I'm not struck down. I'm not destroyed. In other words, I'm not crushed by what is pressing me all the way round. And we times in our experiences, we go through pressing matters. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, oh, how are you? How are you and everything? Yeah, I'm fine, but it's pressing times for me at the moment. In other words, there's pressures. And those pressures sort of nag away. They're not suddenly, you know, a burden's just suddenly thrown upon you. It's like it's building up, you know? It's like something's happened and you think, oh, you know, praise the Lord, ever. And then it starts to gain weight. And it seems to get worse and worse. It's a bit like the economy, isn't it? When they start to get wind, didn't they, the politicians, that we were in financial difficulty. But they said, until they actually looked at the books, then they realise how serious we are in financially in debt. Until they had really opened the books up and got the figures. It was already a pressing matter. They were already feeling the weight of it. But it wasn't until actually seeing it then the utter despair and weight of it was seen for what it was. And that is what he's saying here. And that's sometimes like a trial we go through. Sometimes you're in such despair, it's so pressing, it's so heavy, that you just feel you can't contend it. You don't know what to say. You're absolutely lost for words. It's like you go into limbo. It's like you've been stunned. And, you know, you just don't know what to say or what to do. That's what he's meaning by here. And then he takes it on. And he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. So these trials can press on us to almost breaking point, but we don't get crushed. What does he mean by perplexed? Well, he says, I just don't understand. But although I don't understand, I'm not in despair. Have you ever gone through a trial where you just don't understand? Can't even work it out. Mind's trying to work it out, and you can't. And the more you try and work it out, the more in despair you get. And in the end, you just say, I'm leaving it. God's got it under control. It's not my burden. It's not for me to work out. When are we actually going to learn that our trials are not for us to work out? And yet we try and do it. We try and do it. And that's what takes all that energy from us. And then opens that depression. And you've just got no energy and you feel tired, drained and everything. It's because you're trying to work out your trials. Brothers, sisters, you never will. Yet we still try to do it. Just leave it. And let God take the burden and sort it out. Because that is what he wants to do, you see. And so that's where we get this idea of being perplexed. And many trials and tests are like that in nature. But don't be in despair. Don't try and understand your trials. Just go through it. Just go along with it, you know. It's like a boat at sea. I'm told that when a storm comes up, you don't try and resist those waves, but you go with the waves. You see? And so it's exactly the same with us. Those waves are big, and boy, they are big. Boy, it's rocky. It really is. But don't resist it. Just go with it. And then you will find you're like a cork. It's just bobbing up and down. It's just going with it. Yes, it's turbulent, but you're not anyway resisting those waves. Don't understand them. Some of those waves look jolly big. I don't know why they should be so big, but they are. But I'll go with them. You see? It's when we're trying to analyse and we're trying to say, well, why are those waves so big? Why are they? They shouldn't be as big as that. Well, the fact is they are. And don't try and work it out. It's our trials. Well, we take it on. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. All can be against you, and yet God is right there. Right there when you are persecuted. You see, persecution comes in many forms. It can be that you, in your persecution, you've been struck down. Just literally struck down in persecution. Some in persecution, some Christians have even been struck down physically and injured because they're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some in their trials can be put down. I think probably most of us in our Christian walk somewhere along the line, we actually were put down. You know? They're trying to make you look small. Trying to make you look foolish, stupid. As though you're not all there in the head. Put down. But not destroyed. You may be for a season, that's the way you're looking. But in time, they have to look and see, well, it didn't really do its work, did it? They're not exactly being destroyed. Even though they've been put down, they're still going on. So what is it about them? You know? That's what the apostle's saying here. Persecuted. But you're not forsaken in it. You're struck down. But you're not destroyed. He experienced it. The early Christians experienced it. And we are going to experience it at times. But these are all clear signs that you belong to the Lord. Because it's not you they're getting at. It's Christ in you.
That's right.
You see, that is the point. And so because it's Christ in you, can you strike Christ down? Of course you can't. Can you destroy him? No, because he's overcome all things, including death. That's the power that works in you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he says in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Now, verse 10 is very important to understand, because this now begins to reveal the reason why God allows us to go through what we go through. The purpose, the mind and the wisdom of God that's behind it all. Because he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So some may say, hey, hang on a minute. I thought Jesus was alive and he's risen. He is. But it's not speaking of him, it's speaking of the body, you. But this also can speak in a sense of the body of Christ, carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And so this clearly speaks of God dealing with the flesh life. Why the flesh life? Because the flesh life sins. That's why. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So here he's speaking about his preaching, his overcoming, calling on the prayers of the saints, he says, this will turn out for my deliverance through also your prayers and the Spirit that is within me outwardly working through my body. Even though outwardly my body dies daily, that is through the cross that we take up, that is the death to that self-life. But he says the supply of the Spirit that's in Christ Jesus will be my means of deliverance and causing me to go on when it's impossible in the natural. So that's what he's getting to here. Let's also look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So, as Christ has risen, overcome the power of death, so he now works that spiritually within us, because we too have to manifest God in the flesh. Now, how can that be achieved when the flesh sins, when the flesh is weak and defiled, with the flesh it's growing old? Yet God has chosen to manifest himself in that way. Now, outwardly speaking, that is impossible. Can't be. And yet God says it can. And your trials, my trials, are for the very reason that God has purposed and decreed to manifest himself through you, that is, through the flesh. It obviously has to be the flesh, because it's the flesh that we see. It is the flesh that we touch. We know that we are spiritual, we are living beings, a living soul. But all of that has to take the flesh in which to manifest, to express the spiritual man. And that's why until we're in the flesh like we are, until we're glorified. So he says, in the flesh, God has chosen and purposed to manifest himself through us. Now that is a miracle, and that is amazing. Let's make no bones about it. So we can now understand what the apostle is saying here, back in verse 10 in 2 Corinthians, verse 4. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. So we carry about, we carry all the time. Just like a mother that is pregnant with her child. She, every second and moment of the day, is carrying that child, whatever she does, wherever she goes, whatever she says. She's always carrying until that child is ready to be delivered, born. So spiritually speaking, we carry about in our body every day the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. So it is Christ crucified, risen, which is the good news, the heart, the root of the gospel. That is our message. So it's not only in Christ dying, his death, but in his resurrection, his raising. And so, because he had to go to the cross, he had to die in the flesh, now he's risen and raised in the spirit in a new body, a new humanity, as the overcomer, the first fruit, who now is seated at the right hand of the Father. So he now emulates that same work that he had to go through, but he now does that in the spirit in you, which you carry daily, hourly, momently. He's working death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. You have to come to the end and die in areas in order for resurrection. And how does he achieve that? By your trials. Your trials have got to bring resurrection. As we are, if we do not understand this in our trials, we are going to totally misinterpret it and we're no longer going to walk it. Because we're going to ever only see God as a hard taskmaster. He doesn't love me. He's cruel and everything. Because outwardly it can look like that. Millions in the world blame God in that way. That's how they see him. You've heard it and I've heard it. Well, if he's this God of love, if you say what he is, then why, you know, and how it all comes. Usual thing. Logically, intellectually, from man's wisdom, they are right, what they say. And sometimes I say that to them. I say, yes, you're absolutely right, what you have just said. However, you have not seen it by the Spirit. That gets their attention. That gets their attention. Because what they're saying is right, isn't it? But it's not right spiritually from God's side. And then he can come in, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something about the good news of the resurrection. Christ rising from the dead. So here it is. This is carrying about in the body this dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ also will be manifest in our bodies. And that's how God has purposed and decreed it, to manifest himself in your flesh, your body. And that is why we have to take it by faith. And that is why, brothers and sisters, it is indeed a miracle. Because we're all very aware of our flesh life, and what it's capable of doing. None of us need any revelation on that. So the question then is, he manifests himself in our body, that is the flesh. Does he then manifest himself in hate, resentment, unforgiveness? Certainly not. He manifests himself through you, your flesh, as the God of love, forgiveness. Does he manifest himself through you as a drunkard? Not at all. Everything in moderation. That is what the Christian life and walk is about. The Christian life and walk is about moderation. It is about balance. Not veering off to the left or to the right, which often politics does. Does God manifest himself in the flesh through you in fear and anxiety? Not at all. In peace. An inner strength and confidence. Does God in his flesh manifest himself through you in sickness? Disease? Not at all. For by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. Does God manifest himself through the flesh, through us, as a deceiver and a liar and a cheat? Not at all. Now can you begin to see and understand how he's manifesting himself through you? And that is why we have the fruit of the Spirit that works on our behalf, so that as we face situations and Christ manifests himself through you in that situation, you have the fruit of the Spirit that helps to keep you balanced and tempered. So for example, you're in a situation where there's strife, there's hate, bickering going on and all that, and that happens a lot around us. What do we do in that situation? Do we find ourselves joining in with them? No. We find ourselves allowing the Spirit of God, the love of God, to shine through in peace, harmony, in a joy, guarding our tongues. It is amazing the presence of Christ manifesting himself through you, what he will do in situations like that. Because it's all about being this light in a world of darkness. And so we're going to face these situations. Sometimes we're going to face persecutions. Sometimes you're going to face someone who is demon possessed. It's not a question, Lord, what do I do? You know, what do I do? It's like God will say exactly what he said to Moses. What's that in your hand? You don't do anything because it's all in you that will manifest to do it. And we need to learn this because God has chosen to manifest himself through us in flesh. And very often it means you've got to say something and you think, where do I start? What do I say? God says, just open your mouth. And as you open your mouth, out it comes. And you think, where did that come from? But that's what was needed to be said in that situation. Open your mouth and speak to that demon possessed, and they will be set free. Open your mouth and let who is in me speak healing to that diseased body, and so on. It's not about you. It's not about me. And this is where ministries have gone wrong today. It's their ministry, my empire, what I'm building. You know, it's wrong. And little wonder we see so little happens in meetings. And same people go up for the same prayers and the same laying on of hands over and over and over again. They deceive the people. This is what he's talking about here. This is where the greater work's coming. This is where we're going to see again Christ manifest, meeting the needs. When we realize it's not in me. I cannot do a thing unless God reveals, unless God manifests, unless he speaks, unless his power flows through me. You'll know if you've got the gifts of healing because you'll know the power flowing through you. And you won't be taking it for yourself. Oh, I'm so anointed tonight. I feel like electric. My hands are on fire. Come forward and we'll lay hands on you. Have you ever heard that? I have. Many times. Totally contrary to what the Word of God says. You don't call people forward for healing. People just will come forward. Sometimes it's just their way. Jesus was present. He would minister whatever it is. And sometimes they would just come, wouldn't they, and fall prostrate at his feet. Their needs just brought them there. Because they heard it. And the Father who was in them was meeting those needs through Jesus. We got it so wrong today. You won't have to call. You won't have to try and do anything. Just be before God and he'll draw it. He'll do it. Christ wants to perform. That's the nearest word I can give. It's not a very good word. But he wants to perform through you. Not you doing it or me. That is the difference. And that is what the apostle is speaking about here. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in your body. The life of God. God living through you, your body. And then he says in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus almost may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now, I love this. Verse 10, I've just spoken about Jesus being manifest in your body. And again, he's spoken it out again so that, no, you didn't hear wrong. I want you to hear it again. that Jesus also may be manifest in your mortal flesh. Twice the apostle brings the importance of why you die daily, so that you really get to hear what this is all about. Romans 8:36. Romans chapter 8 and verse 36. Here he says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he goes on, because he's more than a conqueror, he's therefore persuaded that nothing can separate him from the love of Christ. And he lists it there, what could try and separate him. But it doesn't. So the nature that we are here, which is spiritually sheep, that's what he's speaking to us, that we're like sheep gone astray, which sheep do. So the nature of sheep was always sacrificial. If you spoke about sheep under the old covenant, not only was sheep, yes, to be for food, the skins for clothing, but always in the Hebrew mind, when you speak or spoke about sheep, always in the Hebrew mind and thinking was that it was ultimately to be used for sacrificial purposes. You see, we're not Jews, we're not Hebrews, so we don't think like that. Comes a bit of a shock to us in the Western world, but the actual nature of sheep is always sacrificial. And it speaks, of course, of Jesus being manifest in the flesh, which literally many saints give their lives to Christ and for the church. And but that's why we wax stronger in the faith. So many, like sheep who go to the slaughter, some, yes, literally have gone to the slaughter, have given their lives up for the gospel. That's why I always say that the foundation that you and I stand on, the rock of Jesus Christ, was not only Jesus' blood, God's blood that was shed, but also many, 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 many others have also shed their blood for this very rock that we all stand on, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. This has cost souls lives through the century. Doesn't come cheap. And so that is the nature of this rock in a sense. Although it's a firm rock, a foundation which cannot be moved, but outwardly in nature it appears and looks like as though we're sheep who go to the slaughter. But that is where we wax stronger. See, the world says that it's negative, it's death. It looks ridiculous over us. But our confession is different. See, the world doesn't see this rock, this foundation. The world out there sees a harlot, a counterfeit. They think that is the rock. But it isn't. And one day the true rock will be seen, because it will stand through the great trials and the great tribulation. That rock cannot and will not be removed. And I've always said, and I'll continue to say it, that the true test, when judgment falls in the last day and it's coming, that is what will sort it all out. And only that which is standing upon the rock will survive, live and stand. The rest will be destroyed. The harlot is also going to be destroyed. Revelation 17 tells us. And so he says then in verse 12, so then death is working in us, but life in you. And that is the nature of it. So we who are like sheep, daily going to the slaughter, even though we look at our trials, look as though we're just going under, you know, and pathetic and everything, but what it's actually doing, it's working life. And that is why I say, brothers and sisters, do not give up on your prayers. Do not give up on your overcoming. Because your life, although it's a life of death, is ministering life, resurrection. And that's why we can hold on to our loved ones. We can believe for our children, our families, our neighbours, those that God lays on our hearts. We can believe that they will make it in to the kingdom of God, that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because although I die daily, but the life in my flesh, Christ manifest, is life to those that will make it in to the kingdom of God. You see, the point of Christ manifesting himself through us is for the purpose of redemption. You see, Christ hasn't come to manifest himself through you so that you can go and buy yourself a big flash car and a big house. And you can have that. No problems. But that isn't, if that's what you see as Christ manifesting himself, you've missed it. Because Christ came and divested himself of all of that. Moses, who was wealthy in the courts of Pharaoh, chose to identify himself with the poor, the lowly, rejected. That is the way he manifests himself. And so the manifestation of himself through us is always redemptive in nature. That is to save. He is the shepherd going out for the lost sheep. So that's what's always manifest through us. And in those lost sheep and everything he's doing, he's also healing, delivering, blessing, saving. That is his nature, you see. That's why I was so grieved when I went to Africa the first time that I went and I ministered, and the enemy had been really doing his work. Because when I went there and started to minister and everything, all I was hearing, I'm believing for a freezer. I'm believing for a Jeep. I'm believing for this. It was all material, material, material. And I thought, Lord, I've got to present the cross here. And boy, did that sort it out. Did that sort it out. And I began to find out where they were getting this from a lot of this name it and claim it lot coming over from America. Totally robbing them. That's the manifestation of Christ they were seeing. Totally missing it. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So it's death to this self-life, which we do. And that's work by the cross that we take up day after day. And then in verses 13 and 14 he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So Paul appeals to our faith with a resurrection. And that's how he does it. It always comes back to our faith, the same spirit of faith. So your faith is spiritual. It is a gift given to you, because without faith, believing, we cannot please God, as the word says. So he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. So it's on the basis of speaking. How can you speak about something if you don't believe in it? You're speaking a lie otherwise. So we can always speak confidently, because what we speak lines up with the word of God. It's agreeing with God's word. You might not feel like it, but you're still speaking and agreeing, because it's what God first said. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord. So this knowing is not just an intellectual knowing. Oh, I know it in theory. I know it in my heart. It's being revealed to me. As I die daily, I am experiencing the resurrection life, The power that raised Christ from the dead also is working in me. That's the knowing. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, who will present us with you. So the whole thing's about resurrection, making it in to the kingdom of God. And verse 15, finally, he says, "For all things are yours, for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So here is this true witness. Here is where there's true evangelism, because grace is poured out that God may be acknowledged and thanked. You have no evangelism unless grace is poured out, because it's futile otherwise. It could never be. Saints that come in to the true body of Christ is a result of God's grace and mercy, that unmerited favour upon us. So he says, it all works for your sakes. So you see, what we manifest in our flesh is the grace and love and mercy and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the situation, whatever people have done, whatever has been said, whatever you see, you are manifesting God's grace and mercy in every situation. That is where the power lies. And sometimes it's not in words. Sometimes you don't always have to say anything. Sometimes just to be there, just to take someone's hand, or maybe just embrace them. You don't always have to say anything. That grace and love is doing that work. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you again. Thank you, Lord. We always need to hear your word. It's always the right word at the right time. And I pray the fruit of this word indeed may glorify your name. Father, we thank you for our assembling today, for being with us. Thank you, Father, that we're able to share and minister one to another in the grace and love and mercy of God, because it's Christ manifesting through us,
yes,
as we die daily. Father, I thank you that you will be with us through this week. You will cause and help us to overcome in all things. Your peace and joy and love will reside in and through us. You will be with us when we go out and when we come in. Your preserving hand over our life. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for bringing brothers and sisters into the room today. Be with them also. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Father, we thank you that even though they're not with us, yet we are together in unity and oneness and in spirit. Father, I'm reminded of the apostle who never did visit some of the churches, even at Corinth. But he said, "I'm with you in spirit. I'm joining you in spirit. I'm there." And Lord, that's true fellowship. It starts spiritually. And so, Lord, we thank you. I thank you today for the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, that your sheep, because they hear your voice, are in the room today. That is your remnant. So you will preserve and you will keep them from the evil one, from disease, from sickness, from temptation. And so until then, Father, we thank you again today in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. And you will be glad, I will extol your love more than wine. Draw me after you and let us run together. I will rejoice. It is Jesus in my heart. It is Jesus down in my heart. It is Jesus down in my heart. It is Jesus down in my heart. Jesus the Lord of Lords. I will rejoice and you will
after you and let us run together. I will rejoice and you will be glad. Yes, I will rejoice and you will be glad. I will extol your love all the while. Truly after you and let us run together. I will rejoice and you will be glad.
Amen, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mighty Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Well, rejoice. Praise God.
Onward ever grow.